Has anyone seen Pura? The Pharaoh's daughter is about to deliver a baby and they're anxious for us to be there. I want to stay on their good side so I can continue to protect the Hebrew people. We are one of the few women that are allowed to speak directly to the Pharaoh. Her name, Pua, means splendid, and mine, Shipra, means brightness. She's my partner for delivering babies. We always work in pairs. It always takes two of us. I deliver the baby while the mother holds the baby, and I cut the cord and take care of the new mother. But then Pua takes the baby and breathes the breath of life into them. The very breath of God. We are considered special in our community. Our gifts of healing and walking with women through pain are valued in our community. And they believe that Pua has a special gift to breathe life into the babies. That's why it takes two of us. I have studied long and hard with other midwives to learn the secrets of the earth and gather the herbs and mix them into special blessings for the mother that allow the delivery to go smoothly. But I'm afraid. It has been a frightening time in the life of the Hebrew people. The Egyptians have forgotten all that Joseph had done for them. Joseph was ripped cruelly from his own people. Do you remember? He was sold by his jealous brothers, and they took his coat of many colors. And they forced him to march across that dark and dry land. And he came to work amongst us as a slave. He traveled all that way tied to the back of the caravan. He was so little. And he had to walk tired and hungry. They say that when he came through the gates, they thought that he would faint from the heat of the day from the Egyptian desert. But he survived. And as he grew, he became a favorite. He was a little bit of an imp. But because of his wisdom, he was able to save our entire generation from starving to death. As he interpreted the dreams of the Pharaoh when the wisest men in the land could not. And because of his interpretation, we stored food for many years, knowing that famine was coming. When his own family came searching for food here in Egypt, when their own resources had dried up, it is said that he did not punish his brothers for what they did to him, but wept and embraced them, and eventually settled them in the land. They became the first generation of Hebrew people and Israelites. And now look at them. They're so numerous that we can't even count them. Pharaoh, though, is afraid of them. It seems so strange that these immigrants have lived among us for so long without trouble. And now we are afraid of them? Why are we letting them make us fearful of the aliens on our land when they have done nothing but work hard and contribute to our society? They have built our palaces and roads, and they harvest our fields. They have been our doctors. They have cared for our sick as well. And yet we have reduced them to manual labor. I can hear the rumblings amongst the Egyptian people, and I fear for their lives. I held my breath, though, when the king summoned us to the palace. Pua and I talked as we approached the steps. There were no royal members that were with child, so I knew that there was something else on the Pharaoh's mind. It's not like it was unfamiliar territory for me, because I had delivered most of the royal babies. They trusted us. Pharaoh, having forgotten all that Joseph had done for us, asked us to let the girls live, but kill every baby boy. I looked at Pua and I could see the horror on her face. But we both managed to gather our wits about this and give the king the answer he wanted to hear. We would obey his commandment. But we were horrified. It was our job to bring life into the world, not to kill it. To defy him was certain death, even for us. Even though I promised to do this, I could not. And so God's people grew and expanded, but so did the cruelty of the slave masters. When we forget what people have done for us, when we forget who people are, when we let someone else tell us lies, we're in trouble. All they had to do was look out their windows and see the beautiful dynasty that they had helped us build. Kings came from every land to see us. We yielded the most power in the region. We could feed our own people. The Nile was a beautiful river that gave us great crops. We were a strong and proud people, but we let fear rule us, and instead of treating the Hebrew people like fellow countrymen, some people began to talk and worry that they might hurt us or rise up against us. Or even attack us by joining the other armies. Isn't that crazy? We had lived together for a whole generation in peace. In fear, they doubled their workloads and demanded more and more of them. But brick by brick, they built and continued to build. No matter how hard we made their work, their populations grew and the language people used was so demeaning, referring to the Israelites and the Hebrew people. They called us a plague, breeding insects, and a blight in the eyes of humanity. You know, to be a midwife is to be barren. And at first I felt the shame of never having children. But my work gives me meaning and purpose and a place in the community. It actually gave me a place in the community of both the Israelites and the Egyptians who valued my work. I'm honored in this community. When I look down the street and see the children scampering about, I remember each of them, the pain their mothers had bearing them. When they see me, they know that I sometimes delivered their fathers and mothers too. Her and I are one of the few women whose stories are told in Scripture. My story reminds people that sometimes when we have a plan, God has a different way of using us that we might not have thought about. And you read in the story that because of our faithfulness to God's plan, that we followed God's leading to not kill the Egyptian to not kill the baby boys. That God actually gave midwives families of our own. That was our miracle. Do you know that the history books recorded later that 603,000 men went on a journey to the Promised Land, leaving Egypt behind? When Moses wrote his story down, he remembered that after he was born, we hid him amongst the reeds. His sister was charged with watching to make sure that no one took him. One of the daughters of Pharaoh saw him in the basket and took him back to the palace and adopted him. Thank goodness his sister was quick thinking and offered to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse him, his own mother. He grew up in the palace, his mother knowing that he was safe, although there was although there were many days that she longed to hold him after she finished nursing him. I know that Moses led God's people out of Egypt, but it took the work of midwives, risking their lives, that saved a generation of people to exit Egypt on their journey to the Promised Land. I know through my work how God works. I am a midwife, and the worst time for a woman in childbirth is transition. After hours of labor, the body will finally be ready to give birth. But it is also so painful that many feel like they are losing their minds. Transition is the most difficult time, and I could see that God was bringing people to a time of transition. Sometimes it's hard to remember when we are in the most pain, we are closest to birth. When we cry out, we can't do this anymore, that may be the time when we are closest to bringing into the world the promise of new life. Even women who have given birth many times can forget in the moments of pain and transition that you will get through. It seems so ironic that it was the Hebrew people who made the bricks and mortar that formed birthing stools for women in labor also became the symbol of how God was going to rebuild His nation, one person at a time through midwives. When Pharaoh summoned me back, the people were growing in number. I was terrified, but I made up an excuse. I told him that the Hebrew people were not like the Egyptian women, but were so vigorous in labor that they delivered before we arrived and hid the children. He believed it. The truth is that the women were so worn down with their many heavy labors in fields and in brickmaking that they often died in labor, or their babies were born so small they didn't survive long. It was heartbreaking to see God's people so mistreated. I didn't know what God's plan was for His people. I just knew what the right thing to do was. Like childbirth, it seemed like a long time coming. They thought that they would never get through the pain and the agony. But God saw them, though. We can think that God is not working in the world, not working in our lives. We can feel as though the pain is for nothing. We can think that our place in the world is very small and insignificant, and yet many small things can bring about big changes. Remember in kindness all those around you and all that they have done, and you will be less tempted to gossip about them or dismiss them. Remember with compassion all that you have done. Small acts are multiplied many times in the kingdom of God. Remember all that God has done for you, and that your pain may just be a time of transition, a time when God is getting ready to act in the world. Amen. In the book of Romans, we read the writer telling us that our lives are a living sacrifice to God, and through living work, we make a sacrifice at this altar through our offerings. I call upon the ushers to take up our morning offerings.